You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Actually, I was just coming back from that bike trip when I learned the news that Bill Walton had died at the age of 71. And I don't know, I didn't know he was sick. Did you know he was sick?
I did not. There had been word, because I think he cut back even like on the Pac-12 this year, that his health was not good. But I didn't know right. It was like this.
Well, some people choose to make it public and some people don't. And he obviously did not, or we would have heard more about it. So it did hit... It hit hard when he when you learned he had died. Like, whoa. And obviously, particularly because of his special connection to Memphis and Memphis State. Now, he is being celebrated justifiably all across the country. He was absolute original, was Bill Walton. And it's striking that this is true. In the New York Times obituary about Bill Walton, there was only one game that was mentioned. There was only one. And in this game, that was, of course, the game against Memphis State when he hit 21 of 22. There were his basketball exploits mentioned, which were extraordinary. College Player of the Year for 3 consecutive seasons at UCLA. He won his final 49 games in high school, won multiple titles, obviously, in college, and then 2 titles in the NBA, one with Portland, one as a 6th man for Boston. I had season tickets to that, see that team play. It was when I was in law school. And he sort of had a career renaissance. He loved being a 6th man and playing with Bird and Dennis Johnson and Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish, Danny Ainge. He did all this even though he had had 39 surgeries on his feet and on his ankles. He missed a total of 762 games over 13 seasons. And if you look at the numbers, you would never call him, his numbers don't stack up when you're just stacking up numbers. But he was one of the, and he's obviously in the Hall of Fame. He's identified as one of the 50 greatest players to ever play in the NBA, because at his zenith, he was an absolute force. No one ever saw that more than the fans of Memphis State, which I'll get to in a minute. But then the striking thing is seeing all these tributes and hearing all these tributes about him. So many of them have nothing to do with basketball. They are what an original he was. It's kind of striking to think. Here's a guy who, while he was an athlete at UCLA, college basketball player of the year, was arrested for protesting the Vietnam War. You do wonder. Now there are protesters, again, on our college campuses. And you do wonder, he was, by the way, some kind of suspended probation thing, right? He didn't miss a game, right? Yeah. You do wonder if...
It was handled internally.
You do wonder if, similarly, there would be, if a player... it feels like in Congress they would be demanding that a player who protests like that today be booted out of school, at the very least. suspended, stripped of his degree, whatever else.
Scholarship taken away,
all of that. You would expect that a lot of the billionaires of the world who are currently demanding the most severe punishment be meted out to college protesters, you would assume they would have said that Bill Walton would have been treated the same way. But here's a guy who thought there were more important things than basketball. Some people would call him eccentric. He was eccentric. I talked to Hank McDowell yesterday, who played with Bill Walton. Hank McDowell, obviously former player at Memphis, went on to have an NBA career, was traded to the then San Diego Clippers, and he played alongside Bill Walton. And he said it was an experience. He said he never practiced. He would come to the arena, he would get treatment, he would dress, he would whatever else, and he literally the entire season did not practice because of the injuries.
Right.
Right? There was one day, but this was not because of the injuries.
Also, we're talking about practice.
One day, they get to Madison Square Garden for practice, and they take the bus, they get to Madison Square Garden, and he never shows up. He doesn't come out on the court, nothing. And Hank is like, where have you been? Later on, he said that. And he said, I went to get my haircut. He said, do you think they were going to change anything in practice anyway? You know. He also told a great story of he went to dinner at Bill Walton's house, and it was Bill and his then common law wife and his nanny, and the kids were younger then. And he said the house backed right up to the zoo, but he had a pool. And he said you could hear the lions and whatnot. He said, and then when Bill said, how about we go swimming to the kids? And so the next thing to know, it's Bill Walton and three kids, buck naked, running around the coffee table and then jumping in the pool. So he was an eccentric fellow, battled depression. When his pain was so bad, I think that was in the early 2000s, and then became known as a sort of wacky television commentator. You, who like staying up late and watching the Pac-12 action, heard a lot of Bill Walton. This, by the way, I'm going to get to the Memphis stuff here in a moment. This is Dave Pasch and Bill Walton just earlier this year, just on a typical exchange that was highlighted in Richard Deitch's column today at The Athletic.
Is it true, because we were showing the George Luce building there, is it true that you were in the mix to play Chewbacca?
No.
I heard that.
Chewbacca is modeled after me.
I'm being serious. I heard that you were in the running for that you were being considered to play that role. I'm being serious.
You're always serious. That's one of your problems, is that you don't have fun with your life.
But you're not answering the question.
No, George Lucas is as cool as they get. And I remember the night that George and Kareem and Bill Russell and me, we were all up in San Francisco at a big fundraiser for the Martin Luther King Memorial. Beautiful play by Kajani Wright.
So since you're not answering the question, I'm just going to assume it's true.
What was the question?
I'm just going to assume it's true because there's...
I auditioned for Chewbacca and they said, no, but we're going to model the character after you.
You were in Ghostbusters, and people didn't know that. So, again, I think there's a great chance that this is a true story.
The next day, evidently, newspapers across the country, the aggregators, whatever, turned this into a story that Chewbacca was modeled after Bill Walton. All of that was complete fiction. Dave says that all of that was...
The number one giveaway is Chewbacca.
It's
either Chewy or Chewbacca.
He calls him Chewbacca. Kenny Mayne, formerly of ESPN, had this story that he related. As I see all the tributes to Bill, I'm struck by the fact, this is exactly what I was saying, that the fact that mentions of his amazing basketball skills and careers are few. He led such an interesting life and touched people in so many ways. Bill was always so good to me and my family. He corrected me one night at his house in San Diego when I mentioned something about, quote unquote, my stepdaughter. He said, you have four daughters. It's not where you've been. It's where you are. I don't think I've said stepdaughter since. So all that was Bill Walton.
Dave Pasch also screenshotted. So Pasch, who also is the Arizona Cardinals radio guy, and of course he does ESPN and whatnot. Yeah. Bill Walton would just text him during the middle of the game. You watching this great game that he was always calling? He's showed the screenshots. They were great. Like, as if he didn't know that Dave was on the call.
And then there's the Memphis part of this. And as I said, it is pretty striking that as great a basketball player as he was, the one performance, the one single performance that consistently appears in all the obituaries was that night in 1973 when he went 21 of 22, scored 44 points to beat what was then Memphis State. And what sticks out to me is I've never perceived, and again, I wasn't here then, and I only got here in 96, so the wounds had healed a little bit. But I never perceived that Bill Walton was considered the enemy here, or a villain here, or was anything other than absolutely respected here for that performance, and that there was, in talking about him, a certain amount of affection for Bill Walton, even not just the TV persona, but even that performance and that connection that he had to Memphis State. And so as I was exploring this yesterday, I've written a column up at the Daily Memphian about it. I reached out to a whole bunch of people, and they basically all said the same thing. I was talking to Harold Bird. And what Harold Bird said was, listen, in that iconic photograph at the end of the game, Bill Walton has scored his 44 points. The game is essentially done. There's less than 3 minutes remaining in the game. Walton sprains his ankle. And in an iconic photo, you've seen it, I'm hope, and it's in the Daily Memphian again today. It's Larry Finch helping Bill Walton off the court. Bill Walton literally is towering over Larry Finch, has his hand on Larry's shoulder, and Larry is boosting him along and carrying him to the bench, helping him get to the bench. And what Harold said about it is that if, here's the exact quote, it was the majesty of Larry Finch helping Bill Walton off the court. If Larry could show that kind of class in the wake of what had to be crushing disappointment, then we could do it too. So there was that story. But then I called Leonard Draper. Leonard Draper, of course, very close and instrument. Larry Finch, instrumental in Larry and Ronnie Robinson going to Memphis in the first place. He, among others, remembered the officiating. And there was some, I gather, controversial officiating in that game.
It sounds like Bill Walton
had three fouls in the first half and then didn't get another till deep into the second half. And Larry Keenan was instantly in foul trouble. And Bill Walton, at the time, you couldn't dunk. It was against the rules to dunk. He actually had a bunch of baskets wiped out in that game. But the perception was there were others that should have been, were essentially dunks, right?
Reading your column, it's like, oh, he was Zach Edey.
Right.
Everybody mad.
So, that's exactly right. But then I asked him if he resented any of that, Leonard Draper resented any of that, and this is what he said. I have a lot of respect for Bill Walton. When Larry was sick, I got a call one day, and it was Bill asking me how Larry was doing. I don't know how he got my number, but I have a lot of respect for that man. Hank McDowell also said that as soon as he was traded to the Clippers, the first thing basically Walton said to him was, sorry, I had to do that to your boys, back at Memphis State. So, and then the most striking interaction I had was I decided to text Bill Lawrie to see if he had anything to say about it. And listen, I don't have a close relationship with Bill Lawrie. But it was interesting. He not only responded practically immediately, he then sent me a photo of Bill Walton towering over him, scoring a bucket in that game. His actual comment was, Jeff, thanks for reaching out. As you might imagine, when someone dies that is a part of your history, it touches you. Over the years, when I would see him at Final Fours, he talked about our game as though it meant as much to him as it meant to us. That always struck with me. Of course, he had a record game against us that will never be broken. I would be honored if you printed any of my thoughts, he said. And then he sent that photo. And so what you see there, and this is, again, maybe everyone doesn't share this view, but what I perceived was a profound mutual respect between Memphis fans and Bill Walton. And indeed, I think some of it came because it's not just, you didn't just lose a game, you lost to that epic performance, right? Like, that was, it will never be bettered. Don't you, can we agree on that? No one will do ever better than, will ever do better than 21 of 22 in the national championship
game.
Seems
highly
unlikely. For 44 points. So just sharing the stage with that kind of epic performance, I think there is honor than that. And let's be honest, like Gene Bartow, before the game, had openly said their plan was, and this didn't necessarily go so well, and I got this, Zach McMillan back in the days when he was at the CA wrote a spectacular series on that 72-73 team. And it was, he had Gene Bartow in pregame basically said, we're going to cover him one-on-one with Larry Keenan and see if everybody else, you know, see if right. He could beat him. We're going to limit everybody else, give him his, and limit every other. He said, half of his game is passing off. We'd like to make a shooter of him tonight. Whoops. He also said this, we feel the more that Walton shoots, unless he is just shooting a fantastic percentage, the better chance we have of winning. Listen, they were probably going to win either way. Like they hadn't lost in years. So they were probably going to win either way. But it required, so that's what they did, and it required that kind of performance to beat that Memphis team. And I think there is honor than that. But then beyond that, the way that Bill Walton always regarded that game and always regarded Memphis State and tipped his hat to that moment and to that team, calling to check in on Larry Finch. When I had Luke Walton on my TV show, Sports Files, I asked him if Bill had ever talked about that game. And what he said was, not only did he talk about that game, this is what he said. I knew about that game because it's actually the only game we had sitting around the house when we were kids. It was on VHS. I asked him about, if you know, what, no cartoons or whatever? He said, no. He said, we weren't allowed to watch sports, and that was it. If there were no sports on, we could pop in that video. So there you are, the young, and there's one game in his entire career. The guy has won multiple championships, and the game that he is hanging around in the house on his VHS is the Memphis Tigers. And so if he treasured that moment, I don't think it's that unusual that Memphis fans treasured that moment and that relationship, really, to Bill Walton as well. I can't tell you how many people reached out to me asking me to write about it or telling me their memories of it. But it was a lot. Notably was one fan named Frank Cantrell who wrote me. He said, if I could draw, I would draw an editorial cartoon of Larry Finch helping Bill Walton into heaven. And so that was sweet. Do you perceive it differently? Do you perceive, like Mario Chalmers is different because it was just one shot. It wasn't a great performance. And even then, I don't think there's affection for Mario Chalmers one way or another. Like, he represented a moment, but it wasn't that kind of epic performance by an epic player from an all-time performance from an all-time player. So but he's not hated here. He wasn't hated here.
No, I do also think, like, the way the game played out, like, I know it was tied at half, but pretty much the entire second half, you knew UCLA was going to win. And like you pointed out, this was a team of teams.
And it was.
To me, the key difference
Memphis,
with
Memphis before that year, Memphis had never won an NCAA tournament game.
Yeah.
And Walton had not lost a game in college and hadn't lost a game, period, in 123 games. Bill Walton, UCLA had not lost a tournament game you know, in ages. And so Memphis was a 15-point underdog, and there was this idea that that someone wrote that they were going to have to wake John Wooden up to accept his award, basically.
Yeah.
That's the kind of sleepwalker it was. And so when Memphis took a 2-point lead in the second half, which they did early in the second half, Larry Finch hit 2 free throws to give him a 2-point lead. Jack Eaton said, I don't think John Wooden is sleeping now. And then and then Walton hit the next 3 buckets.
Yeah.
it does sound like he was Zach Eadie-esque.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Only better.
Right.
He was Zach Eadie-esque, only better.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.